Hello, this is Mary Lindo. I'm so glad you're listening to this podcast today, and my prayer is that you will be inspired, challenged, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Sit back now with a cup of tea or your favorite coffee and listen to what the Lord has to say to us today. Hello there, listener. Today we're going to have a very interesting podcast, and I'm looking forward to sharing this with you. The title today is Arrogance and Morality, a prophetic word about leadership and kings. The Lord has recently been impressing me about what goes on in the hearts of those who choose not to allow others to be promoted or to rise above them in any area that they might have either at one time held influence in, or who are at this moment in time the lead or main voice of an organization, a ministry, or institution. This can occur in a business situation, or in ministry settings where only after you have jumped through certain hoops of performance or other tests, you will be possibly then esteemed of useful value and be allowed some place of input or respect among the hierarchy of the day. The Father in heaven intentionally stripped himself of his greatest glory, his Son, in order that the wave of redemption needed in the earth might be brought forth through the Son. And in doing so, the Father was glorified, exalted, and further honored by allowing this Son to fulfill his part of the triune plan. Why is this not modeled by more of those who are calling themselves leaders, bishops, apostles, or even now the newly developed term, super apostles? There is a spirit on the loose from hell. It is nothing more than a mimic of the spirit of pride that Lucifer operated in, and it operates in many others now. It has been working hard to invade the minds of many who at one time were in the forefront of specific moves of God, or who were key leaders in areas of ministry building in the past. This spirit operates much like how Herod the Great did during the time when the Savior was about to be born in the earth. Herod was so terribly afraid that someone would snuff him out, or would outdo him, that he lived in paranoia. And he constantly manipulated and curried favor in order to gain influence or access to whatever he needed to keep his stronghold of power intact. Let's read in the Word about this first in Matthew chapter 2. We're starting with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." You see, Herod was a man who expected others to understand that he was the one who held all command. There was no room at the table for those who would not sway his way. He used smooth talk with other kings and influential leaders to obtain information and tasty morsels of gossip to plan his next move in order to keep his position intact. As the chief priest and keepers of the law were called together, they walked on eggshells around Herod. The word of God spoke about this humble little town where a new ruler was to be raised up and would care for the people. Herod didn't care for the people. They were supposed to care for him and fear him, and grovel. He had worked hard for all of this power and honor. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him.'" Herod gathered the three kings into his chamber secretly to hide his plan from the priests and lawmakers. And with a slimy, oozing, well-cultivated, and deceptive tongue, he tried to appear ever so interested in the new child that was in his way. He acted out in false humility and used it to try to obtain information as to where his upstart enemy might be located. He wanted to at least honor him and worship him too. In all reality, Herod wanted to go and scope out where this new king might live and to see what he had to compete with. But God had a plan, and had planned that the next wave of his power on the earth must come through a childlike and poor son, one who would not get stuck in traditional posturing, nor in the trends of the era, one who would not manipulate with intellect, cunningness, or through lofty ambition. God had given his seed, his living prepared pathway, all into the next generation of his presence, and then the move of his glory in the earth, into a son who had lived in the very presence of God and was one with him. Three wise men. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was." Now these three kings had heard the true intention of King Herod's heart. They were discerning men and realized that after having been hauled off by Herod to a very secretive meeting to inquire about his new ministry and possible challenger of Herod's rule, something was a little offbeat. Herod had left a very saccharine aftertaste in the mouths of the wise men, and wisely, they still stayed on the course that God had led them on, and they met the true King of Glory. He was lowly, he was helpless, and he radiated the pure light and presence of God himself. Now, these men didn't need pomp or strong-armed, prideful leadership to cause them to bow down and give honor to this tiny king. No, the simple humility of the promise to come was enough to cause them to bow their knees and worship the King of Heaven. Their reward was to have a visitation in their dreams, to not return, nor to converse with Herod about the new wave of glory that would be coming through this child. In verse 12 it says, "And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." What the Lord impressed me with through this prophetic insight or teaching is this. Whenever there is a fresh wave or move of God's plan in the earth in regard to the redeeming of souls, there is also a counter movement at work among the religious and prideful intellectuals of the day. These situations are brought on through the influence of evil spirits who have been assigned to try and destroy the future generations of passionate and unspoiled servants of grace that God would plan to use in the earth, the sons and daughters of the King. Some of the evil spirits come and taunt those with old religious residual mindsets, those who feel that there is a deserved spiritual hierarchy in the ranks of the King. Many have assumed that because they have labored and have paved the pathway with their life's blood for the next wave of the king, that they deserve a place of special recognition and a form of holding on to the leash of those they have coming up underneath them. Boy, I don't like that term, underneath. If this is not humbly acknowledged and repented of, This can cause what Scripture calls exasperating your children to occur. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart." This creates an atmosphere of shame and punishes many into a place of frustration in not wanting to dishonor their mentors, but feel that they will be watched in their every move and smugly, with an accusing raising of the eyebrows, be discussed in demeaning terms as they, too, try to reach their destinies and calling in the way of the Lord. As we begin to see the dawning of the promised wave of God's greatest harvest event ever known to man since the birth of Christ Jesus, the Lord is going to allow the Herod spirit attitudes to be justly addressed. There are those who were once deeply a part of what God was doing and have lost that so-called advantage to either the aging process, transition in ministry, or through focusing strictly on their own ministry advancement. The Lord is lovingly allowing painful travail to occur in order for the current generations of fathers and mothers in the faith to see that through releasing and affirming the sons and daughters in their care, or who are now, due to the season, moving past them in influence or in special anointing, that they too will once again run hard and multiply themselves through imparting and sending out the new wave of the King's regiments. Are we hindering or harvesting? The hidden prophetic and travailing element of individuals who are being shaped into the fabric of God's own weaving are currently being made ready for a swift and dynamic change of pace. What was once long and hard will become shortened and filled with rest. Release of God's grace and abundant mercy is coming into fulfillment as you end your course of instructions for this season. Many of you are in your late 40s to your mid-60s. You have not had the pleasure of faithful mentoring. So, the Lord has instead made your life one of mentoring and preparing others. Look now at the pathway the Lord has allowed you to pave, and one that others might walk upon when they too experience nights of darkness and difficulty. Your lives have a divine radiance that has prepared a footing for them in Christ, so that they may not stumble and fail. A prophetic encouragement. I'd ask you to listen to this as a prophetic word from the Lord, and of course, check it out with the Word of God. I, the Lord, have prodded, whispered, shouted, and commanded many to assist you in paving the way. If you are weary of waiting for releases and the fulfilled promise, take what you now have and in reckless abandonment cast it upon the water. I will see to it that you will not be left with empty hands. I bless what is little if it is given in humility and obedience, rather than much given in false humility and personal safety. Come to the place of safety, under my shadowed wing. Anguish has been your companion too long, as well as the gaping ache for friends that stick closer than a brother. I have begun building relationships among you that stem from brokenness in each of you, and also where you have learned the value of discretion. See me fulfill and direct your path. Watch the answers dawn upon your list of asked and yet unanswered questions. See me as the one who can move upon the hearts of those who quickly obey when I touch their inner man with compassion and spiritual insights. I have a few in the earth who live to obey me promptly. Let's pray together. O Heavenly Father, we bow our knee to the name of Jesus Christ. We look to you and we thank you that there is no other name higher than the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you help us walk in a spirit of humility, a spirit of rightness with you, that we are willing to lay down our opinions, our judgments, our self-righteous attitudes towards what others can and cannot do. Instead, Lord, turn it internally towards the places that we need adjusting. We call upon your name that we too could be wise men and women, that you could lead us by dreams, lead us by the word, and Lord, that signs and wonders would occur as we're along the path and needing your guidance. Father, I bless anyone listening today in the name of Jesus. I speak grace. I speak hope. I speak deliverance in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that you help them to be freed of worrying about what others think. And Lord, if anyone listening today is influenced by the spirit of Herod, whether they be one who is a perpetrator and an abuser, or whether it be one who has been played upon and harmed, I ask that the convicting work of your Holy Spirit goes to work now, and that you bring deliverance, you bring freedom, and Lord, that you help those who are trapped to move out of the trap into freedom. We thank you so much for sending the one and only treasure that you cherished more than anything, your Son, and you yourself embodied the goodness of that one. We ask now that through the power of your Holy Spirit, as we pray, as we seek you together right now, that you would bring a calm in our minds, calm our fears, and let us come up under the shadow of your wing and converse and share together, Lord, that we would talk and that you would speak back into our spirit man. We worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Please take a few moments now just to sit back and turn off all the noise around you, and maybe even turn your phone off. If you're listening on your phone, then block other things coming in. This is a prophetic, spontaneous song of the Lord that I'd like you to just sit back and allow the Spirit of God to speak life and minister to you deeply in the Spirit. Our spirits need to have the Lord sing over us. The Word says that He sings over us. And so this is called, I Am the One You Long For. I did go back in after recording it spontaneously. I was playing the piano and singing at the same time, but I also then went back in and put a little bit of strings and things with it so it would have a warm, beautiful feeling for those that were listening to it. And so this is from the Holy Spirit. It's never been sung before. It is what's considered a prophetic psalm or song of the Lord. And I believe some of you listening are really needing to hear this today. Let Him sing over you and speak to you through music. And I bless you now in Jesus' name, and I encourage you to share this with someone else and let them hear the love of God pouring into them and the hope of things to come that are a strength and a blessing and encouragement for the days ahead. Goodbye for now, and enjoy this song.
Making you cry over things.
I trust that this podcast ministered life to you today and hopefully challenged you. If you'd like to listen to additional podcasts, you can go to my website at www.marylindo.com. I bless you today and look forward to talking to you during our next podcast. Goodbye for now.